All right, you're good to go, Chuck. I got the recording going and
Okay.
all the boards here. So,
All right. I'd like to call the October 6, 2020 Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors General Meeting to order. The time is roughly 7:03 p.m. Mark, do you want to give your standard description about how the meeting is recorded?
yep, the meeting is recorded on Zoom. We do get the audio recording up as soon as we can. We've had some trials in the size of the file, so we've had to split some of them, but we've been getting better at that. If you would like to make a comment during the meeting, please use the raise your hand function. You can use the chat function, or you can call the township phone number, and I have that forwarded to my cell phone. Appreciate everyone's patience with the Zoom has now added the waiting room feature, and they're forcing everyone to use the waiting room to help with what they call the Zoom bombing when someone goes into a Zoom meeting and causes havoc. So that works great for schools and colleges and business meetings, but it doesn't really help us because we let everyone in. But that's why people may have seen something on their screen that you're in the waiting room, but we quickly had everyone moved into the meeting. So that is it. And I did want to say that we had an executive session today to discuss legal and real estate issues for the township.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance, to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Let the record reflect in terms of roll call that the full board is here, as well as all staff that are mentioned in our agenda for tonight's meetings. As far as announcements go, these are our standard announcements that our township meetings are recorded for the purposes of preparing the minutes, and the recordings are destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting, I believe, as Mark may have mentioned, is also being recorded by our teleconference provider, which happens to be Zoom. As we always ask that all people, residents or anybody else who's making comments, please identify yourself in terms of your name, in your address, and that way we can get an accurate recording in our minutes of people's comments and who made them. Brings us to our first agenda item, which is an update on Zieglerville Road and the home heating oil release. Mark, it's your...
I'm gonna let Peter take that to start.
Just to let the board know, Mark and I had a conference call with several representatives from both DEP and EPA earlier. I guess it was it Monday? Yes, it was Monday.
It was yesterday. Yep.
Yesterday. And actually both Mark and I felt it went better than we had hoped for. It looks like DEP is going to move forward with, after one last attempt to work with Mr. Hockle, trying to get him to allow people voluntarily on the property. If that doesn't pan out, it appears that DEP will be ramping up to go to court to try to get a court order allowing them on the property to undertake an assessment of the property to determine what exactly is going on there. Things are moving slowly, but they are moving forward, which I think is, both Mark and I feel is good news. As far as the township goes, we have issued a notice of violation under the property maintenance code. Mr. Hockle did not appeal that within the necessary time frame. And so the code enforcement officer has issued non-traffic citations against him for these violations. They were, I believe, filed last week or maybe the week before, with the district district court, and we just have to wait for them for the court to get them served and then schedule a hearing on them.
Also, we continue to try to get the county to do something with the, you know, the senior services or the veteran services. I do think eventually they're going to come out. Veteran Services has had some experiences with Mr. Hockle, several experiences, so they know him pretty well. They also provided information to the EPA for the one person that he knows in New Jersey. So the EPA tried to talk to the person in New Jersey also to see if they could get his help. So the county has been helping also where they're able to.
So at this point, I think I'd like to open questions up from the board to either Mark or Peter, and then I'm sure there might be some residents who have questions as well. Do we have any questions from any of the board members for either Mark or Peter?
I have no questions.
The only thing that I just wanted to add, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mark or Peter, but I know it sounded like from what you had described that the county and the Veterans Affairs people are well aware of Mr. Hockle and have reached out in the past, and so far he has been resistant to accept help.
Correct.
Is that's an accurate statement?
Yep, that is correct.
And he has been evaluated, I assume, by the county.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
I don't have any further questions unless anybody else does. Is there any questions from the public for either Mark or Peter on this issue at this time?
Just to add to what Peter said, wait to see if anything comes up. The DEP was out and they also took water samples after the rain that we had last Tuesday. Hold on 1 second.
I'm assuming that Mark is fielding a question at this point.
All right, sorry about that. So like I was saying, DEP was out after the rain and they took samples that they sent to a lab to test to see if they can find any other chemicals or anything that may be coming out of the basement area of the house. So we had a comment from George Malik from Zieglerville Road. Understood that DEP and EPA were both out. Both of the houses, making a statement and asking a question, both of the houses that are on the property in the front are uninhabitable. So are we doing anything for that? And is there any investigation for other fuel oil tanks on the property going to take place? In the code violation that we put, it did have property maintenance, but it also did address the falling down houses. And investigate for other fuel oil tanks. I don't know that yet. We're still just trying to gain access to the property to assess the initial spill, and then we'll see if we can get anything else done. But at this time, just trying to focus on the spill at hand and the things that we can see.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
So that brings us to our next agenda item, which is public comment on agenda items. Do we have any comments from the public on our agenda item?
Wait.
Hearing none, we'll move on.
Sorry, Chuck, I just have a question, and this is for Mark. Mark, where can people find the Zoom, if they miss the meeting, where can they find the Zoom recording?
It's on the webpage.
But where is it? I mean, I looked for it, and I had a really hard time finding it.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, hold on a second. Right on the home page under current news and notices, at the bottom is click of the first gray box. Click here to access audio recordings of the meetings. So we're in the box that it says Zoom, there's a line at the bottom. We can try to highlight that a little better, or we can move that to the top.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful just to make it more obvious.
Okay.
Thanks.
And I want to apologize. I skipped. I scrolled a little too much, so let's go back up. We discussed the heating oil release administrative actions. We have minutes to approve from June 23rd, August 25th, and September 1st.
Sorry, Chuck, I thought the open space discussion comes next.
No, it comes
after. Did that get moved? Okay.
Yeah, it's right.
I've got an older version of the agenda.
So we have three sets of minutes to approve. Is it all right with the board if we do it in one motion?
Sure.
Okay. This is Dan Orth. I had a quick question. Mark, last time I looked at the meeting minutes, they still had red and orange comments in it. Have those been removed? Guys, I was looking on the Dropbox and they were still red and orange.
Yeah, after they're approved, because that has all the changes tracked. After they're approved, then I remove everything.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you.
Yep.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the Board of Supervisors workshop minutes from June 23rd, the Board of Supervisors workshop minutes from August 25th, and the Board of Supervisors general meeting minutes from September 1st, all in 2020.
I'll second.
Chuck Yizer makes the motion. Marla Hexter seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any against? Great. Motion passes unanimously. The next item under administrative actions is treasurer's report.
Okay. The cash balance in the general fund as of September 31st is $1,676,652.35. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of September 31st is $555,875.45. List of checks in the general fund total $112,866.68. In that amount is a check to the fire company in the amount of $31,558.71, which is monies that the township receives from the fire company relief fund, and that is just passed through directly to the fire company. So that is in our revenue and our expenditures. They match and they kind of cancel each other out. The township just has to be the receiver of the money, and then we send it to the fire company. The list of checks in the sewer fund total $21,282.07. Normally, I would go into a little discussion about the EIT, but I'm going to save that for my budget introduction. But in 2019, Our 2019 DCED general audit has been completed and was sent to DCED for review. We had a presentation from the audit was provided to us by Herbine, who completed the audit at the end of last week. They had no findings and expect that there will be no findings from DCED. Terry Bird was able to attend that presentation of the audit. And Terry, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Sure. Yeah, I think you summarized it pretty well. The auditors were, first year we're using these auditors, and fairly new with Cindy helping Mark in the accounting. But it was a very, very positive call, clean audit. So that's great. No findings, which is really great. The DCD report will be issued. We will receive the presentation. The board will receive the presentation that they gave us, and any sort of communication letter with any sort of recommendations, improvements, you know, updating some of the classifications within our chart of accounts to the DCD standard. So very positive call. They had some good advice as far as handling EIT and some other items that they noticed, but again, no findings. So good job. Good job by all.
Great. Thank you, Terry. Sure. While Mark is taking that call, I think, as I recollect, he gave us the list of checks. We discussed the general fund and the sewer fund. Right, Mark, you had gone over your report. Mark?
Yes.
You went over the general fund and the sewer fund. So what we need is a motion to approve the list of checks in the general fund as well as the sewer fund.
I'll so move.
Marla Hexter makes a motion. We have a second.
I'll second. Danworth.
Fourth second. Is there any discussion about the list of checks in either the general or the sewer funds as described by Mark?
Yeah, I have one that doesn't need to be answered this moment, but I just wanted to kind of see the breakout. So one item that just stood out, and maybe Carol could even answer it, but Goshen Road sidewalk, it kind of cuts off. So I assume it's the service is ending and it's kind of wrapping up the project for the engineering fees for $6,014.25. So just wanted to understand, is that work that's still being done, or is it being billed from earlier as part of the grant application?
That would be the work that's been done over recent weeks. So the pre-construction meeting and the start of inspection. I could forward you the specific invoice for that, Terry, if that would be helpful.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if this was something paying from the design phase, but okay.
No, this is the we're under construction right now, and as I say, that would be the actual inspection and the paperwork and meetings leading up to the start of construction.
All right. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Great. So that ends the treasurer report for tonight. So the next agenda item is we actually
I got a comment. We were having a little technical difficulty on the Ziegler-Ville Road. So sorry, just to go back. Bob, you're available.
Hey, Chuck, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Bob Burns, Ziegler-Ville Road. So I called in last week on the EAC meeting just to bring the EAC familiar with the fire oil spill, whatever have you there. And they had only like a short meeting because they went into that additional meeting later on. So, you know, they're aware of it. Mark got on, explained a little bit to them so that they're aware of what's going on there. When I was talking to, I think it's Rebecca Flannery from the DEP, she mentioned that our MS4, there could be something tied into our MS4 with this because of the oil spill and release since it got down to that one inlet. So I don't know if anybody's aware of that or if we're looking into that or, you know, whatever is happening there. And I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on it.
I mean, is that going to be, you know, more paperwork for us and for our engineer or whoever when we go to do the MS4 so that, you know, we're not paying for that, that it goes back to the 204 Ziegler Road for reimbursement if there's costs to us?
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on it and, you know, keeping apprised of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mark, are we free to move?
Yep.
Okay, so we next up we have a presentation on the benefits of open space from.
Hey Chuck, did we vote on the checks?
Yes.
Oh.
I made a motion. Marla made the motion. I believe I second. I believe we all. But I will. Yeah,
maybe we should vote again just in case because I don't remember.
I asked the question. I think I interrupted the flow.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay. So, Marla.
Good
Marla
catch.
Thank you, Terry.
Sure, of course.
Marla Hexter made a motion.
I would hold on before we do this. I just want to point out that I think I saw Dan drop off this meeting.
Oh boy.
Sorry, Dulcie.
That's okay. I'm very patient.
We don't actually need Dan to vote for the check, so let's try to get him back on. But if we want, we can vote for the checks with that. We just need three.
Okay.
I mean, try and find out where he is. He should be able to get back on, but we don't need him for this vote.
Okay. So we have on the floor, Marla Hexter made a motion to approve the list of checks as described by Mark Hudson in the general fund and the sewer fund.
There he is.
A discussion. And so now what I need, Dan, I'll wait 2 seconds. Dan, we are now going to vote on approving the list of checks in the sewer fund and the general fund. So all those in favor of approving the list of checks in the general fund and sewer fund, please say aye.
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 Any against? Hearing none, the vote is unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Bird, for catching that.
Anytime.
Okay, so now we move to our, we have a presentation on the benefits of open space by Dulcie Flattery.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank you for inviting me to join you tonight and just talk about one of my favorite things in the whole world. Is the benefits of open space. So thank you, Chuck, Marla, Terry, Dan, and Noel. I spoke with Mark a little bit in preceding this conversation. I am retired. I've worked with some of you in the past, but let me give you a little bit of a background of who I am, and then maybe we can, besides just doing a presentation, which I think you've already had from my colleague and friend, Patty Elkis, on the benefits. Her specific PowerPoint is the same one I would have used. We put it together several years ago. But I think what I might be able to share with you is an experiences that I've had over 30 years of working to protect special places throughout Montgomery County. I started my career as the executive director of Montgomery County Lands Trust in 1993, when the county began their first consideration of using public funding to protect open space throughout Montgomery County. And we started a small land trust at that time with a blue ribbon committee, bipartisan, very energetic, and we worked with municipalities, county government, and state entities to protect land, to build trails, to save farmland, to educate local officials with open space and natural resource protection. I also, in that same year, I was appointed to the Montgomery County Planning Commission. So both of those careers started in parallel and went through several decades. Not only did Montgomery County Lands Trust protect land privately as a nonprofit, we also worked with municipalities to help them preserve open space through the first open space program in Montgomery County, which was $100 million, that was really passed people call it the first ballot question, but it wasn't. It was really done just as good governing from the Board of Commissioners. They thought that the people of Montgomery County would really benefit from taking county money, their tax dollars, and investing in things that were important. So it was passed by resolution. We worked on with that amount of money, which was $100 million for over 10 years, close to 10 years. And then we decided that we needed to continue the program because we weren't really finished in protecting all the places that we needed to protect. So we decided at that time, I shouldn't say we decided, the county commission decided they wanted to have the public's the public to participate and to endorse the spending of additional funds. So they decided they wanted to do a referendum, but the county didn't want to do it. So they asked the Lands Trust to be the sponsor for the outreach and the advocacy for the open space referendum. And we did that. We did that. And it was one of the most exciting, interesting, challenging, but fun things I've ever done. Kind of what you've been doing in your community, but on a different scale. We tested the market, and Montgomery County at that time was probably around 700,000 people. We're at like 830,000 people. But we tested the market. We knew that people wanted it. When we did the polling, we paid a professional poller to poll and do just test what people wanted. 72% of the people in Montgomery County prior to going to referendum said that they would spend their tax money on open space preservation. And I think at the time we were talking, and this is 1993, around $25 per household for your county taxes. When we went to referendum after doing outreach and education and doing lots of workshops and a lot of just talking to people in group settings. In 2003, we went to the ballot in November and the referendum passed in all 62 municipalities. And you know how different Montgomery County is. And I don't know how many of you can answer the question of how many we have, 62, but name them all. And you know that Norristown's real different than Upper Hanover. And Lower Merion is very different than Montgomery. And Marlborough Township, where I live, is very different than Lower Merion, where my mother lived. And my children, they never even thought it could be in the same state, no less the same county. Every single one of those municipalities voted yes. And the final percentage on the yes vote was 77.8%. 78% of the people in Montgomery County who voted said that they would spend money on open space. And then we went and we ran that program for another 10 years. So that's kind of what I did in my professional career. We took, we worked with municipalities. Montgomery County Lands Trust was in existence for over 20 years. And then we merged with Natural Lands. And Natural Lands is where I spent the last 5 years of my career as their vice president for community partnerships. It's a wonderful organization, and I think some of the folks from Natural Lands have worked with your community people on this referendum. I'm also vice president, vice chair of the Montgomery County Planning Commission, an entity that I've worked with for over 25 years. I could sit here tonight and read you the list of all the benefits of open space. And if you want me to do it, I'm very happy to do it. That I don't have in my head, but I think you heard them from Patty Elkis. You have your ballot question on the ballot for November 3rd. So basically you're going to your people right now. So I wanna ask you what you want to hear tonight. Do you wanna hear why you're being so smart? Do you wanna hear why you're giving a gift to your community? I always like to say to people, when can a public official give a gift to their community? That you can tell people your tax dollars are being used on something that will never get used up and never go away. When you buy open space and you build trails in your community and you do parks, you can assure that maybe folks won't remember your name, but they'll enjoy what you did for them for an awful long time. So, you know, we can go through the enhanced property values, the increased recreational use, the strengthened local economy, strengthened community character, mitigation of climate change, energy savings, wildlife habitat, reduced congestion of traffic, removal of air pollution, improved health for area residents. What do you want to talk about? Any of those things, I'm happy to chat with you about. You really, you're at the starting gate of doing something wonderful for your community. I hope your folks vote yes. And I think the reality is, if you don't have money at the local level, you can never match what's available at the county level, the state level, sometimes at the corporate level, and sometimes at the individual level, to do the things that community citizens really enjoy today and in the future.
Dulcie, what's the favorite property that you you saved during your time?
Oh, there's so many of them.
And what's special about it?
Oh, I'll tell you a story about a donation of a conservation easement. In Limerick Township, that is one of the fastest growing townships in Montgomery County, there was a small, it was like a tree farm. And it was right behind the Limerick Township building. And it was owned by a fella who was a retired teacher. He had 24 acres right off Swamp Pike in Limerick. Really prime development property. And he felt that he wanted to see it protected. There was no public money available to do it. To donate his property, he had to not only want to give up the potential for development, but also pay the cost to do the surveying and to do the legal cost and to just make sure that it would stay open. And when we talked to him about it, he said, you know, everyone should be able to afford a Christmas tree. He had a Christmas tree farm, and his Christmas trees were $15 a piece. And he said it was the best gift that he could give to his community to make sure that that property remained open forever. I mean, that was something so generous. People said, why would you give away hundreds of thousands of dollars to make sure that a property was open? And he said, because it benefits Mother Nature and it enhances the quality of life of my community and it makes the place that I love remain as beautiful as it was when I started. So that's one. Another one that I think was really pretty wonderful is right where I live. I live up in the Unami Forest. And most people, if you drive up into Marlborough Township, you don't know that we're the only township in Montgomery County that doesn't have a traffic light. We have 3,000 people living here and no traffic light. But we also have a lot of boulders, we have a lot of trees, and we have some wonderful creeks. And we have a Boy Scout preserve up here. And back in, I think it was about 2001, the Boy Scouts were, as they are still today, in need of money. So Montgomery County Lands Trust worked with our friends and partners at Natural Land. We went to the state for money to be able to buy an easement on over 1,200 acres of this gorgeous forest. We had money put in by the county. We had money put in by the state. We had money put in by the William Penn Foundation. There was support from Marlboro Township. We were able to buy an easement on 1,200 acres. There's public access through part of the camp, through trails. And this huge, huge natural area, which is an important bird area, which is the home of both the Unami Creek and the Ridge Valley Creek, high value creeks, is protected forever. I mean, those are two properties. I could give you properties all over the county that have been preserved by Montgomery County Lands Trust, the county, and municipalities. In your own community, you have them.
Thank you. Was that Camp Delmont?
It was Camp Delmont, Camp Hart, and Musser, all three of them.
Spent some time on Camp Delmont in my younger days.
The thing that you realize.
I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit for us on how having township funds available allows you greater access to county and state funds, to which our townspeople obviously contribute to county and state taxes. And so I wonder if you could expand upon that a little bit.
Well, the best thing is that if you have your own money, what you get to do is bring back your citizens' tax dollars. They're paying county taxes. They're paying state taxes. Those monies, some of them go into programs that have grants available. DCNR, DCED at the state level have grants that we can apply to. But you always need a match. You always need a match. So that's where your township money comes in. We have a program, we've had an open space program for decades in Montgomery County. It's a little more quiet now, but it still exists. If you have a fabulous project, you can bring it directly to the county commissioners. You can go right to the open space board. There is money available. We have a 2040 program in Montgomery County that advances the public policy and our comprehensive plan. Montgomery County has a comprehensive plan. We do one every 10 years. We have money to incentivize the advancement of those policy agenda items. One of those is the preservation of open space. Another one is building trails. Another one is greening your towns and your boroughs, planting trees, stormwater mitigation. All those programs are out there. 2040 gives grants up, I think it's $200,000 now. And the match is only about 20, I'm not quite sure that, and I should know because I'm on this committee. I think it's only 20% from the municipality. So you can get 80% money if you go into this this grant program and you're successful from the county. But you need your own money. That's where your earned income tax money can go. Other important thing, we made changes at the state level with your for how you can spend your EIT money. And now you're allowed not only to buy open space, you're allowed to enhance the open space you have and to even develop the open space that you have. And when I say develop, I don't mean put buildings on it. But let's say you have an open space property and you need to put you would like to put a trail on it. You can do that, but I believe if it's still the same with the EIT money. If you need to you want to increase the public access, sometimes we have these properties, but you don't have a parking place or a way for people to get in to enjoy them. We're no longer protecting open space from people. We're protecting open space for people. So we want our citizens to be there, to get onto it, get onto our open space, walk on it, enjoy our trails, look at the wildlife, look at the plants and animals, because they're the taxpayers who are funding it. And the more they enjoy it and the more they cherish it, the more likely they are to want to fund that. Those projects.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Dulcie. And do we have any questions from the board for Dulcie? I'm familiar with the property owner. Actually, he's deceased, the gentleman in Limerick. He also did blueberries too.
He did.
And it's a special property. Actually, I got to, when they did the estate sale, got to know the neighbors a little bit. I went over there and they would pitch in to help them sell Christmas trees.
Right.
You know, they would go over there and work the gate.
You know, one of the things that I find, you know, Montgomery County is such a diverse community. But one thing I think is really important is that each place is very special. And to be able to kind of keep the context of your community, to keep the places that really are special, to keep your community character intact, that's what open space preservation is about. You know, the things that make Lower Frederick special are often the places that people enjoy. And I think it's buying open space, enhancing open space brings community together. It's so bipartisan. It's so non-political. It's in working for 25 years, one of the best things was finding how terrific people were from every community and from both parties, because around this issue, they always seem to bond and find some commonality. And in today's world, that's really important.
Yeah, agreed. Do we have any questions from the public for Dulcie? Mark?
No, I don't see anything. Chuck, I think we're good.
Well, thank you, Dulcie. We really appreciate you coming and visiting with us tonight and sharing your experiences.
It's a pleasure. Good luck on November 3rd.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we will then open the floor again for public comment on agenda items, since I kind of jumped the gun earlier. You have any comments, Mark?
I do not.
Okay, so we'll move to reports. The first up is a township engineer report.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Carol Schuler with Value Engineering. A few items on my report tonight. The first one is the Goshen Road sidewalk. It's my pleasure to report that project is well underway. Concrete for the new sidewalk is installed and it's already being used by residents of the community. Remaining work includes pavement markings, which are scheduled for this week. I pause to put out to the board that while the weather's nice, if you wanted to have any kind of a ribbon cutting or acknowledgement of the project, got some beautiful fall weather to do it, and we're closing in on the finish of it. Next item on my report is the master casting agreement. At the workshop meeting, we discussed the benefits of executing the master casting agreement with PennDOT. Members of the board requested some information on the prices associated with adjustment work and the maximum number of structures that might be impacted in Lower Frederick Township. The master casting agreement details prices for various circumstances. The anticipated situation that was described during the workshop meeting was use of a riser with a turnbuckle for minor adjustments or less than 3 inches. The price for that for a manhole such as those in Lower Frederick would be $438. To give you an idea of what the total costs might be, the two state roads, Big Road and Little Road, scheduled for resurfacing in coming years, which have sanitary sewer manholes in their roadways owned by the township. Of these roads combined have 5 manholes total. So if all 5 manholes were determined to require riser adjustment, which is not terribly likely, but that's the worst case scenario, the bill to the township under the master casting agreement would be $2,190. So I hope that that provides a perspective on the master casting agreement question. The next item on my report is, again, my pleasure to tell you that while earlier this year, the township applied for a $77,748 grant funding under the Low Volume Road Program. That's to replace a culvert on Swamp Creek Road. The Montgomery County Conservation District recently notified us that their board of directors voted to award this grant to Lower Frederick Township. So once the grant contract is signed, the board can authorize it to be put out for bid for construction in the spring of 2021. So congratulations to the township on receiving that grant. The final item on my report is an update on the sewer line inspections. Sewer Specialty Services completed the infiltration repairs we had discussed on September 1st of this year. We recommend payment of an SSSI invoice that's dated September 15th in the amount of $4,498.50. And this will complete work under the Small Water and Sewer Program grant agreement with the Commonwealth Finance Authority. So that was a grant funding program. The combined contractor invoices for all the work that's been done under this program total $54,512.10. And the township will be reimbursed under this program for 85% of those costs. That money, just a recap, was used to line 14 manholes, video inspect over 9,200 linear feet of sewer main, inspect 47 manholes, grout repair 2 pipe leaks, and grout repair 1 leaking manhole. In addition, that inspection located a concern with a structure that was previously lined, and ART, the company that lined that manhole, has been in the township recently to address that concern under their 10-year non-prorated warranty. That concludes my report this evening, but I'd be happy to address any questions you may have.
Great, thank you, Carol. Do we have any questions for our engineer? I don't know what the weather is like, but I think the idea of having some sort of ceremony, although I don't know how we could do it, you know, because of the COVID situation, would be nice. It would be nice to invite the supervisors who were there, who actually initiated this project. We're executing something that the previous board got going, but it would be nice to acknowledge them as well. So I don't know.
We'd have to social distance and wear masks, I guess, if that's possible. Yeah.
It's a really long sidewalk.
It's a long sidewalk. So we could stand like 13 feet apart, the new
with
normal.
Masks, so, yeah, there you go.
Masks and covered.
But I guess just, I mean, just to have, we'd have one person, I guess it'd be either Mark or the chairman to do the actual, I think I like the idea of a ribbon cutting and, you know, send it to the county. I mean, we got the money from them and we have a successful project. So hopefully we'll get more money in the future for projects like this.
Yeah. I definitely concur with Chuck. We should probably extend an invitation to the supervisors under whose watch this project was initiated as well.
Yep.
I can do that.
Okay.
We'll arrange a social distancing ribbon
cutting. Masks required.
A really, really long ribbon.
Yeah.
So, I think we have at least one action item under the engineer category of engineer report, and that is to decide whether we want to move forward with the master casting agreement. I didn't hear any questions for our engineer. I'll make a motion that we approve the master casting agreement with PennDOT. It's an agreement that lasts through 2029.
I'll second. Sorry, Dan.
That's right. You win.
So Chuck Geiser makes the motion. Marla Hexter seconds. Is there any discussion on the item? Hearing none. All in favor of approving the master casting agreement with PennDOT say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, Noelle, did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. So we have four ayes or five ayes?
Five.
Okay. Any against? Great. So the vote is unanimous. Do we also, Mark, need to make a motion? Carol mentioned paying SSSI.
We did that during the checks.
Okay, their check was in there. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Great. So that moves us on to the next agenda item, which is Township Manager's Report.
You got Police Chief.
Sorry, I am looking at the wrong document again. I'm sorry, Chief.
Oh, yes. No worries.
Under staff reports. Chief Maxey.
Thank you. A brief report tonight. During the month of September, there was 328 calls for service. I'd like to just take a brief moment and just thank two wonderful people that I had a chance to meet in person, which these days with COVID is pretty rare. But a gentleman by the name of Luke and his wife, Linda Costello, they are actually residents of Upper Providence Township. And the Costellos very graciously donated a very nice and I would say relatively valuable piece of furniture to the township to be used in the police department. And this specifically is going to be used to house sensitive electronic equipment and general storage materials. They were looking to try to find a good home for this piece of furniture, and we were lucky enough to be chosen to be given that. So I would like to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you to the Costellos for this nice donation. And finally, the police department received checks totaling the amount of $977.74 from District Court 38-203. And these monies represent traffic and criminal fines paid by defendants in various matters brought before the court. And that concludes my report.
Mark, can we send a letter to the Costellos from the township?
Yep. Yeah. Well, the chief and I can put that together and send it out.
Wonderful.
Any questions, further questions for Chief Maxey? Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next staff report would be the roads and parks. I guess Tom is not with us, right?
Yep. They completed shoulder work on Zieglerville Road. A portion of that put some blacktop in the shoulder that was falling apart. They continued to work to remove the gravel bar from Foy Park. Got that completed, and we have that reseeded and hayed, and but we already have grass growing. So if you're looking to seed your yard right now, it's the perfect time. The grass seems to be popping very quickly. And then they continued with grass cutting. I know they did a couple of sump pump inspections also for homes that were selling, but I can't find the actual paper for the actual number. So that was it for the roads and the parks.
Any questions for Mark? Okay, so I guess we can move to the Township Manager Report.
Okay. The first item on my report is the Foy Park Playground. Last night's park board meeting, the park board again revisited the Foy Park discussion, and after we got some better pricing for the mulch and using our employees, would like to make a request that we do put mulch back in the Foy Park playground using our own township personnel so the kids can begin to use that playground again. I would like to wait until November, until we get through hurricane season. There's another hurricane that may be coming our way. And we have a busy October. So we can wait until the November timeframe to do that. Then we'll get the mulch ordered and then we'll move it in. And some of the park board said that they'd come over and help us, you know, pitchfork it into place so that the kids could get back out on the Foy Park playground.
Okay.
Do you want me to keep going or do you want to do things
Do we need to vote on this, or really just consensus that we don't have an that we're okay with proceeding with replenishing the mulch?
Just a consensus that you're okay with moving ahead with the mulch.
Seems like a good a reasonable course of action given some of the greater understanding we have of the nature and usage of the Foy Park area. So,
and I just want to thank the Park Board for continuing to look for other ways to improve that area and make it more, I don't want to say flood resistant, but there are other things I think the Park Board is looking to do to reduce the impact of flooding. So I think that's all for the good.
Does anybody have any further comments on the issue? Objections? Hearing none, I would say that we have a consensus, Mark, to replace the mulch as you described.
Okay, we'll get that taken care of in the next couple months here, after flood season or hurricane season is over. The next item on the agenda is the Perky Onion Watershed Conservancy MS4 program agreement. We've been doing this for several years. It's a benefit to the township for our MS4 report. We've become a benefactor of the Perky Onion Watershed Conservancy. And for doing that, they help us with our educational components for MS4. MS4 is the Municipal Storm Sewer System, and that's regulated by DEP. So we have to put out a yearly report to DEP. In reference to our MS4 activities, so the Perky Onion Watershed helps us with our educational opportunities and our volunteer opportunities for the public. The stream cleanup that they're going to do in October, also the rain garden that they're helping us with in Cuddy Park, all of that helps towards our MS4 program. So as I said, we've done it every year. I just wanted to bring it to your attention and get approval to continue that benefactor relationship with the Perky Onion Watershed Conservancy.
So you need an official motion at this time for that?
Yes, please.
I move to approve joining the Perky Onion Watershed Conservancy as a benefactor to receive the MS for benefit for the township.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we had Dan Orff make the motion and Noel Halter second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of joining the Perky Onion Watershed Conservancy as a benefactor to receive our MS4 benefits. Say aye.
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 Any against? Motion is approved unanimously.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the Fire Company Volunteer Tax Credit Requirements. It's a resolution that we have to do every year. In 2017, the Board of Supervisors implemented an ordinance that gives fire company volunteers that live or reside in Lower Frederick Township the opportunity to get a small discount on their property tax and their earned income tax. So they have to meet a list of criteria every year to get that, to earn that requirement, to earn that credit. So the resolution that we put out then tells them, the fire company, the volunteers, what they have to do. So the only thing that we do have to decide is initially the resolution, which can change at any time, asks that the volunteers complete a minimum of 2 years. The fire company asks that that is beginning with new members who, you know, spend many hours in fire school their first 2 years just to be eligible to be a firefighter. So the other criteria is volunteers must have participated in at least 25% of emergency response calls. Volunteers must have participated in at least 50% of the fire company training drills. And volunteers must have participated in at least 50% of the company's fundraising activities for the calendar year.
This is a good program, and it's a good incentive to help keep our volunteer firefighters. I'll move to approve resolution 2020-21.
Do we need to decide on that first year thing, Mark?
Before
the motion?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So we need two resolutions?
No, we just have to decide if we're going to keep it with the 2 years or if we're going to any active member.
So the resolution as it stands now specifies that volunteers must have a minimum of 2 years of service. The fire company is asking us to remove that clause.
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, given what Mark said about the 2 years of training before they come on, that seems redundant. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's usually at least an hour or 100 hours to even be able to run calls. So it's well-deserved.
Yep. So that's the one issue, Mark. There's something else you had in red as well, right?
No, it's all the same.
Okay, fine. It's just on two pages. Wonderful.
Yep.
Okay, so what section are we removing just for the sake of the motion?
Section one.
Section one. So can we get the motion to approve or resolution, 2020-21 with the removal of section one, which mentions the 2 years of service?
Also move.
Second?
I'll second.
I'll give it to Dan this time.
30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Marla Hexter makes a motion, Dan, or seconds. Any further discussion on the issue? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Hearing none, motion passes unanimously.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the General Fund Investment CD, which is resolution 2020-22. Normally, whenever the township has bought CDs in the past, there has never been a resolution, but a change in the policies of the bank require a resolution to go along with the CD. So the township has invested in a CD of $200,000 for 5 years for 1.2%. To keep our investment monies moving and keep them out in the to get the best rates that we can. Right now, the rates have dropped tremendously, so the 1.2% was a very good rate for the current time period. So we just need to move forward.
Mark, can you just, when you give them the resolution, can you put a D? It looks like it's general fund.
Okay.
It's a fun investment.
Yeah, your version is a little different than what I'm looking at. So somehow the D disappeared.
Yep. Yes, it did.
We're having more fun.
Oh, yeah, I messed that up. Yes, I did. Correct. All right, yeah, I'll fix that.
Any discussion on this? We talked about it at our workshop meeting. If there is none, I'm happy to make a motion to approve General Fund Investment CD at the rates and term that our manager specified. It's resolution 2020-22.
I'll so move.
So we have a motion for by Chuck Yizer and a second with Noelle Halter. Is there any discussion on the issue? Hearing none, all in favor of approving or passing resolution 2020-22, say aye.
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 Any against? Motion passes unanimously. Great.
Okay, so next on the real agenda is the Township Property and Liability Insurance Resolution 2020-23, which I forgot to put on my general fund Zoom meeting agenda.
Yeah.
So as we spoke last at the workshop meeting, I looked at different insurance policies and made a recommendation to the board that we join the Divit liability property insurance company. Currently, we are also with Divitt for our workers' comp insurance and our health insurance. So it is a trust that we will join as we become members. We have to join the trust. That's what the resolution is doing. The insurance rate for 2021 is under $50,000, so it will save us $11,000 over what we paid for insurance in 2019. This year in 2020, it'll actually save us quite a bit of money because we only have to pay for the last quarter of the year from October when the plan takes place until the end of the year. So in the past, we always had to pay the full amount all in one lump sum. Now we'll be able to pay quarterly and they will send us a bill. Insurance rates, our insurance coverage also went from 10 million to 11 million. So we have a little bit better coverage. Joining the trust in time as we become owners of the trust, we'll get dividends from any savings that they have that they then get interest from. Other things that really move me to suggest the divot is increased cyber coverage. So they take a very hard look at the cyber end of things and have very good cyber coverage. And if we ever would get a problem with cyber, they have a company on hand at their beck and call to come in and help us with any cyber attacks that we would have. So the resolution is to join the Divitt Delaware Valley Property and Liability Trust for the purpose of pooling liability risks with other trust participants in accordance with the Pennsylvania Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act and the Pennsylvania Intergovernmental Corporation Law.
Mark, I just have one question. You said they have really good cyber coverage. Do they provide any like cyber guidance? I mean, after the fact is great, but it's also nice to be very well prepared.
Yeah, the nice thing with the Divitt Insurance Trust is also they do a lot of educational activities that
right.
we go to. And I'm drawing a name on the company that they have on hand if you would have a cyber attack. But yes, I've been to trainings with them about how you can better, you know, protect your cyber or internet-based stuff.
Great, thanks.
And they actually, I have several clients with them, and I would echo Mark by saying they're very good at being proactive on legal issues and a variety of issues through education. They have lawyers and other experts on staff who provide memos and informational fact sheets to their members. To make people aware of, you know, anticipated problems.
Great. Thank you, Peter. And thank you, Mark. So can we get a motion for resolution 2020-23, which is participation in Delaware Valley Property and Liability Trust for the purpose of property and liability insurance? I'll be happy to make the motion, Chuck Geiser.
I'll second.
Okay, Chuck Geiser makes the motion, Terry Bird seconds. Is there any further discussion on the issue?
Yeah, but thanks for trying to save us money and get us better coverage, Mark.
Problem.
You have saved us money, hopefully. Once we approve it. Okay, hearing no further discussion, all in favor of authorizing resolution 2020-23, say aye.
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 Any against? Great. Motion passes unanimously. Yes, thank you, Mark, for doing the research.
Okay.
I know it was mind-bending. Like buying a mattress.
Yes. All right. So I have a quick budget introduction presentation for you. All All right, so township staff has begun to work on the budget. The budget timeline is today I'll give the manager's budget introduction. October 27th, we'll do a manager's budget presentation with more details. November 4th would be the tentative adoption of the 2021 township budget. Again, do another presentation with, you know, details or if anything has changed. November 5th, if we do pass the tentative adoption of the budget on November 4th, the budget will be available for public review at the township building, and we will advertise it in the newspaper. Anticipate then that we would, on December 1st, be able to do a final adoption of the 2021 budget. So this is kind of a snapshot of so far through this year, so it should be through October 1st, I apologize. Our real estate tax, you know, in our budget, we put in $598,840. So far, we've collected $589,106. So we've collected about 98% of the real estate tax. Real estate transfer tax is already over our budgeted number. We budgeted it $100,000. We've already collected $108,105.29. So we're at 108% of budget for real estate transfer tax. Earned income tax, which we continue to keep a close eye on, we budgeted $825,000, and currently we have collected $654,095.87. So we're at 79.3% of budget in our earned income tax, which does look good because, you know, currently we should be about 75%. So we are, you know, if you look at the time of year, total budget revenue in 2020 is, you know, for the budget that we put in was $2,037,773.75. Currently we've collected $1,765,324.68. Other things that will come in with the revenue in 2020 will be the refund for the sidewalk. You know, we'll continue to collect earned income tax and some small amounts of real estate tax over the next couple of months. Earned income tax and the dreaded COVID, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the earned income tax is the most affected number. As residents were sent home from work and businesses closed during the spring, the township did not collect earned income tax from those employees who were not being paid. In 2019, the township collected $858,583 in earned income tax. In 2020, the township budgeted conservatively, and we only budgeted to collect $825,000. Through September 30th of 2019, the township collected $660,000 in earned income tax. And through September 30th of this year, we've collected $654,095.80. So currently the township is only behind our collections is less than 1%. So we do see it and we know it's out there, but so far we have not been affected. Berkheimer, who collects the earned income tax for the township, is still expecting the earned income tax collections to be down between $3,800 and $4,200 a month for us, for Lower Frederick. So we'll keep that in mind and we'll plan on being conservative in our 2021 estimates. Just for everyone's information, earned income tax collections are about a quarter of the year behind. So our initial earned income tax payments in 2020 were still being collected from the 2019 year. In planning for 2021, there are still many unknowns that could affect the EIT collections. How many employees will be called back to work as restrictions are eased? How many employees were called back to work and paid due to loans under the Paycheck Protection Program, but will be laid off if that money runs out? What is the long-term economic impact of the COVID, and how many businesses will never reopen and how many jobs were permanently lost. So these are the unknowns that we, you know, continue to look at. So expenditures in the 2020 general fund, as the COVID pandemic took a hold of the country, we halted spending in several categories because of the unknowns. We did not do the line painting, that was not completed. We did not hire a part-time parks employee. We shopped, as we just talked, for insurance, and we'll show a significant savings in the 2020 as the company bills us quarterly. And in the past, we paid for insurance all in one lump sum. We also did several small changes and just, you know, halted spending in smaller amounts, but those saved smaller amounts of money end up being very helpful and add up to a larger amount. With all that being said, it is feasible that this year the general fund will be even, and we could possibly even be in the black. We were budgeted for a significant negative. General fund in 2021, we do expect the revenue to be flat with decreases in earned income tax due to the COVID-19. Our permits were up in 2020 with D.H. Horton will have requested all the majority of their permits in 2020. So as a new house permit comes in, that's quite a bit of cost. So we will not have those new homes coming in. Real estate transfer tax will also be a decrease. D.H. Horton purchased the lots from Metropolitan, and we collected real estate transfer tax on that, and then D.H. Horton would sell the lot to the owner of the home. So we collected twice on all of the D.H. Horton properties, and the majority of those lots are sold. The other thing that continues to decrease is the cable franchise agreements. As residents move to streaming on online only type of media, the cable franchises are decreasing their contributions. Expenditures so far for the planning for 2021, initial meetings with the department heads have occurred, and we continue to look into projects and our expenditures for 2021. Things that we are looking at, we're working with the park board on their budget for park improvements in 2021 and for programming. Line painting should occur in 2021. Again, it was skipped in 2019 and then again in 2020 due to the COVID pandemic. Looking into body cameras for the police department, and we've already been looking into some grants that will help us defray the cost of those cameras, but it's an important safety issue for the police department. We need to update our MS4 stormwater ordinance, and we should look at updating our storm sewer map, which is where all of our pipes and stuff go in the storm sewers. We need to look at other ordinances that need updated during 2021. And why this is in the budget is, you know, every ordinance costs some money to get turned around. As Carol stated today, we have the Swamp Creek culvert replacement, which will be funded with a grant. Looking into an emergency generator for the township building. Our emergency generator has stopped working and is not able to be repaired at this time. And then we also need to continue to remove dead ash trees from the township parks. The sewer fund. Revenue in 2020, the sewer rent is coming in as normal. We really have not seen a major hit in our sewer rent. We have the normal culprits, but generally, we're doing very good in our collections and sewer rent. Sewer connection fees came in over budget this year. We've collected so far $148,000, and our budget was $110,000. Expenditures in 2020, we completed a rate reduction on the sewer loan, saving us close to $30,000. We completed a bid for sludge hauling and received a better per gallon rate than we were receiving in 2019 in the past 3 years, and that is a 3-year contract. We hired a sewer engineer to work on the wastewater and with the plant. I was looking into doing a bid for the plant electric utilities, working with us on ways to decrease our electric use at the plant, and working with us to determine the best chemicals to use at the plant. We have a company coming out Thursday that is going to do tests. It's going to take some of our wastewater, and they're going to do tests with different chemicals to determine if we're using the best chemical, or if there's another chemical that we may be able to use that may be cheaper, or if there's a chemical that we may be able to use that would be used less of, which would help save money in the sewer. Sewer fund 2021, you know, we expect the sewer rent to continue to be flat. Sewer connection fees are expected to be much lower in 2020. We don't have any new homes coming to the system from a known development. So where we knew that this year we were going to be getting many homes connected to the connection fees, we don't have that guarantee next year. Expenditures. Again, we completed the rate reduction of the sewer loan. So in 2021, that'll save us nearly $70,000. Again, we hired the sewer engineer, and we'll continue to work on the electricity bid to keep decreasing the electric use at the plant. And we'll look for other methods and operations for us to save money in operations. And we're looking into additional sewer line video inspections in search of INI, which is different water, rainwater getting into the system. So the more rainwater that we can stop getting into the system, the better the system works, and also helps keep us, keeps it running efficiently and cheaper. Liquid fuels. In 2020, you know, plan to pave Swank Road and Evergreen Road yet this month in October. And then we completed the repairs to Smith Road and Kratz Road due to the August tropical storm, which we're still working to get approved by Liquid Fuels to be paid. I had a verbal, we just have to get the paperwork in. We did just get an email that Governor Wolf has put out a plea to the president to issue a state of emergency for Pennsylvania for the tropical storm. If that does go through, we may be able to get monies back for Smith Road and Kratz Road, but there is no guarantee. And we were hoping that the county would hit the threshold that they needed to, and it never did. In 2021, plan on looking to pave 2nd Avenue, Woodside Avenue, and 3rd Avenue, and look to purchase a dump truck, which would be a regular truck with a dump body. Our dump truck of that size, which is 550 in size, is very old and needs to be replaced. Looking into a 5-year lease, or lease to own, or a 5-year loan. Other thoughts with liquid fuels and why we kind of have a light 2021 is to, in 2022, if we can save money, we're saving some money this year, we save money in 2021, then we could do a significant project in 2022 with our liquid fuels funds. Any questions?
Do you have any questions from the board for our manager on the, I guess you would call this the first sort of snapshot of where we're at in regarding the budgeting season, kicking off the budgeting season?
I don't have any questions at this time. I need to absorb all that. So Mark, I'm assuming you'll make that available for us to see that.
It's in your Dropbox.
Right, yep. Okay.
Yep.
So if the liquid fuels, I'm sorry, if the any sort of relief funds come to reimburse for the projects, would you, in 2021, would you see adding any additional roads?
In 2021. Yeah, then we could, yes, sorry. Okay. Yeah, then we could look to that.
Yeah, okay. And another, just kind of tying another previous discussion about the audit, a specific question that I'd asked the auditors about was thinking about, I think, something that for this budget process and going forward, being able to look down the road 5 years from now, 10 years from now, knowing that we need to replace dump trucks or other sorts of very expensive equipment, being able to put in your budget, basically setting aside money so when we get to a year where we need to replace it, we could be in a position to not have to finance it and actually purchase. So, you know, just thinking about going into this budget process to start thinking multiple years down the road of what are we going to need to replace? What are we going to need to paint? What are we going to need to patch, repair, whatever, that we're kind of tucking some money away when the time comes for those projects.
So Terry, you're talking about having a capital investment plan.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. I think there's different ways to do that. I mean, you can set the money aside or you can just, I mean, that's one way, but you can also just plan for it. And then when that year comes, you know, it's coming. So I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. We can put together a equipment replacement plan. Yeah. That would be the guide.
Cause I feel like last year, I mean, most weren't part of the approval process for that budget, but it seemed as if that was a pretty 2020 was a pretty bare bones. A lot was cut, which is good. So I just want to make sure as we go through it, through budget seasons, it shouldn't just be, you know, the 2 months a year that we're thinking about. It's constantly thinking about the infrastructure and expenses we have. So, but good start, Mark.
Nice work.
Could you back up to slide number 2?
That one, Chuck?
That right there, timeline. Okay, so we are at the 6th tonight, and so yep. The 27th, we will have a much more detailed presentation.
Yep.
On the budget. So get ready for a long meeting, everybody. And then the tentative adoption of the budget at November 4th, which is a Wednesday, because November 3rd is election day. So that's a special switch. And then the 5th, the budget would be for review. Okay, so we're on track for December 1 for the final adoption. Okay. Any other questions for Mark? Great. Well, thank you, Mark. And again, yep. I think a lot of, you know, I know as Terry said, there were things that were stripped out or, you know, the budget was pared down, but you've also gone to great lengths. Everybody has gone to great lengths to try to save money wherever we can, you know, working, you doing things and working with our staff to also keep the numbers under control. My only other comment was, I think there was one slide where you had it through September 1st. You meant to say through October 1st.
Yes.
And maybe if you could just put a PDF file out on the website with this presentation, that yep. would be nice.
Yep.
So just, you know, with that correction. Let me get the agenda back up. Okay, so that moves us to solicitor report. Peter?
Yes, just three quick items just to give you updates on. The zoning amendment concerning cell towers and wireless facilities, I am almost done with that. So long as the rest of my week doesn't blow up on me, I hope to have it done by the end of this week. And I will give it to Mark to look through and then distribute as he sees fit. Likewise, the sump pump, the underground structures ordinance, Mark did give me kind of what the EAC put together. I am going through it. I'm going to need to talk to Mark and Carol some more about it and probably eventually talk to the board before we move forward with that ordinance. Lastly, just an update on Arcadia Station. As you know, we had a discussion at a meeting a while back regarding their placement of rocks in the open space. I had reached out to their in-house counsel, Gia Raffaelli, and we had a discussion about this. She was going to be checking with her site people and getting back to me. She was supposed to get back to me over a week ago. I have not heard from her. I will be following up with her. And talking to Mark, I haven't heard any further activity concerning the rocks on site since that conversation, but we will be following up and trying to lock that down. And that's all I have for this meeting. Any questions?
Thank you, Peter. Any questions? So, Mark, based on what I know of Arcadia Station, then if Horton finishes the houses early in 2021, then it gets turned back to Metropolitan to do the final site work. Is that the way things would happen? Is that right, Peter and Mark?
Yes, that's my understanding, Chuck. After Horton is done and they've completed all of their homes, then the site will be turned back completely over to Metropolitan, who would then go in and Carol, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's Metropolitan who we have the development agreement with, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, they're going to be the ones who we are dealing with. We really don't, other than like from a building permit issue, we're not going to be dealing with Horton. We'll be dealing with Metropolitan to make sure everything is wrapped up, close out the project, and move it into the maintenance period.
Right. I just meant in terms of a timing thing with the boulders, it's something that we're going to see. It's got to get worked out in the next few months.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
This is Dan. A quick question related to the boulders. I think one of the reasons we haven't heard anything about more boulders is, and Carol and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they have any more basements to dig. Last I drove around there, I think all but maybe two sites have their basements dug at this point. Two lots, I mean.
There has to be at least three. There's at least three that have to be done. Okay. I don't think the boulders were coming from the basements. From my take, it was the initial blasting, a lot of it.
Blasting of the road. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Any questions for our solicitor, Peter Nelson? Great. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that moves us on to our reports from our various boards and commissions. The Planning Commission.
I see Phil. I see Phil Smith.
Phil, will you do the presentation?
I'd be happy to give that report. Planning Commission met on September the 17th. We had four topics of discussion during the meeting. First of which was the Loctite concept plan discussion. Loctite is the store and lock facility that you would see if you happen to be driving out Big Road. The owner of that property has, in the recent past, purchased a segment of the Rhodes Farm, which is the large farm that was for sale up until recently on Simmons Road. They purchased 43 acres of that property and came in with a proposal for the Planning Commission to review based on about 6 acres of development on that site. The Planning Commission used the review letter of Carol Schuler dated September the 15th for its discussion basis. The applicant was represented by the property owner, his engineer, and their attorney. The property went through a number of discussion points, ranging from the road use within driveways, fencing, landscaping, and we had a very healthy discussion with the applicant about the possibility of a public trail on the site, as well as the conservation of the stream corridor that adjoins his property, or within the property and adjoining the property. We had an evening discussion about trails within the Scioto Creek corridor, based on the fact that currently the township is reviewing two large developments on the Scioto Creek corridor that have a significant amount of open space that would be possibly put into, trail use as well. And it was a timely discussion to begin the process of figuring out how best to coordinate between the two developments and possibly other areas in the township that adjoin that location that would enable us to better serve the public with connected trails and accesses to various locations throughout the township. The Planning Commission also had an opportunity to discuss the below grade structure ordinance that's being proposed that was mentioned by Peter. We, as a Planning Commission, had a presentation by Greg Pokus and Mr. Orff about the progress of that ordinance at the work group that has been formed between the EAC and the Planning Commission. They had a previous discussion and informational session with a soil scientist. The EAC recommended that the proposed ordinance that they think is the applicable one be submitted to our township solicitor for input and review before sending it to the Planning Commission and the County Planning Commission for comment, and then on to the Board of Supervisors. I assume that is what we've heard tonight, that is in progress and will be pursued. The final thing that the Planning Commission took up was a discussion of the tree removal and tree harvesting proposed ordinance. At this time, the working group, which is again a combination of volunteers from the Planning Commission and the EAC, have proposed that the solicitor needs to provide some guidance to the Planning Commission about the weaknesses that may be present in our existing ordinances, and to see how we can actually tighten up and strengthen those in order to produce a better means of regulating new developments when it comes to things like tree harvesting and impacts into areas of the site which would be normally kept naturalized or without any kind of impact. So at this time we had taken up no action on that, but we're awaiting some kind of guidance from our solicitor. One thing I forgot to mention with the store and lock concept is, or on the trail, I'm sorry, the trail discussion was the idea that the Planning Commission members all felt that it would be worthy of our time to investigate a site visit. Mark apparently will be reaching out to the property owners to see whether the Planning Commission members could be enabled to visit those sites to see firsthand how the land is configured and oriented so we can make some intelligent decisions as to what recommendations we would make about trails installed on the site. And that's the extent of our September the 17th meeting. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Phil. Do we have any questions for Phil, the Planning Commission, this time? Great. Thank you again, Phil.
Sure.
Next report would be from the Comprehensive Plan Committee. I'll make that report. We did meet in September. We discussed at our meeting some general results from the survey that went out over the summer. We will be having a much more extensive review of those results at our meeting, which is this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. We reviewed some draft chapters. We reviewed some of the graphics layouts that the county has done to get a feel for how the document, the final document, will look. We discussed some implementation goals for the plan. And we also discussed having, you know, a general timetable for trying to get everything done, which was the early part of next year. And we discussed how we would possibly do public outreach, another public outreach event similar to what we did back in 2019, whether or not that would be an in-person or virtual event. I believe the consensus of the group was to have that event early in the year, so I'm guessing that it will likely be a virtual event, although that is something that we will discuss further at our meeting this Thursday. That's the end of the report. Any questions? Great, thank you. Next report would be from Park and Recreation Board. Would that be Pam?
Yep, I think we have Pam and we have Donna, but usually Pam.
Pam or Donna?
Let me find Pam here. Pam usually gives the report. Pam, you're live.
Okay, good evening. Mark has already discussed our discussion last night on Foy Park and our vote to continue the use of the tot lot. And we greatly appreciate Mark's efforts at finding more economical solution for the mulch to allow that to happen. It is a nice tot lot. The equipment's in good shape, so it was painful for us to have to just abandon it. So that's a better solution for right now. With the understanding, if it gets flooded again, we have to revisit that decision. But for the time being now, it's a good, right way to go. As Marla pointed out, we will be using this time going forward to brainstorm and assess options for improvements to the park to make it more flood tolerant and also to enhance its value as a recreational asset, those things that it does well now, to improve those. And some of those issues that we're looking at are is improving the riparian buffer, possible gabion barriers and sediment capture swales, things like that, but also possibly putting a section of it into a no-mow meadow so that it is less maintenance and also is a barrier to sediment and flood waters should they come onto the property. So that's in discussion. Also an opportunity for us to partner with the EAC for their input that there as well. So moving forward on that, we have the Cuddy Rain Garden planting day is Saturday, October 24th from 10 to 3 o'clock. Our sign up is full right now. We have 20 people signed up to attend to help us plant. Anyone else who has not signed up that wants to show up is welcomed. Just be aware that we will be following COVID guidelines. During the event, everyone must wear a mask, and we will be restricting the groupings to family members and things working together, and no more than 25 people in the work area at one time, adequately distanced. So we will be managing that as well. Many thanks to Mark and the Municipal Maintenance Group. They completed the excavation today. We needed to move a lot of river rock. Turned out it was an awful lot of river rock out of that rain garden. That river rock was about 12 to 14 inches deep in some areas. It looks quite different now. I suspect we'll need some backfill of soil. I'm in conversation with PWC. They indicated if we needed soil, they would be able to provide some soil for us for amending those areas where we've dug out. So we'll deal with that. Warren has done the kill back in the area. Everything's pretty much dying or dead, so we're ready to weed whack that down. We have been pulling some of the very the large root system plants so that they're not in the way of the planters, but basically we don't want to disturb that soil any more than necessary. So we're going to whack it down to the soil level and also cut out some of the woody plants that are there. We have some autumn olive around the edge and some shrubberies and stuff that we don't really want, some weedy stuff that we'll take out of there. We are going to get, we have the benefit of being the only project that PwC has in the rain garden grant this year, and they are going to help provide some woody plants for us as well. Members of the park board are supplying some plants, and PwC has placed an order with Bemerwald from some native shrubs for us as well, which will go at the back of the garden as a nice backdrop. And also we have some swamp azalea and things that will go in the basin itself, which will be a very nice mix. So that's going very well. We're in good shape. We're on schedule here moving forward with that. So hopefully, we're just hoping for a nice day. If we have a day like we've had this week, it'll be fantastic. We have the stream cleanup, again, supporting PwC, Saturday, October 31st from 9 a.m. to noon, rain or shine. Again, we're going to follow COVID guidelines with social distancing and masks and no more than 25 people at each site. The sign up is pretty full at those sites. If you were signed up for a site and you still want to come to that event, just stay on there. If you do not want to, please get on the PwC site and take your name down so we know what we're dealing with. They will be providing a leader's guide on a Zoom meeting the week prior to the cleanup. They will be, Jesse will be sending out an email to the leaders in the groups at each site. They'll have a Zoom meeting, and then supplies will be picked up at the conservancy for each location. Other than that, we're moving ahead on the QRC codes, and we've placed the initial orders for those and working on starting to develop the plant tags as approved by the board for us. So we greatly appreciate the board's support. That's pretty much all I have to report. Any questions?
Thank you, Pam. Any questions for Pam? Yeah, I was told that that Jesse was sending out emails to people who were signed up for the cleanup just to ask him, I think, just to perhaps recommit or show their interest.
Right.
As you mentioned. Right. So it seems like a lifetime ago that we all signed up for that. But, you know, if you have signed up, please check in with PwC, as Pam asked.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Pam. So the last committee report is from the Environmental Advisory Council. I guess that would be Ruth.
Hello, yes. Everybody.
Hello, Ruth.
This is Ruth. The EAC met virtually on Monday, September 28th, and as you've heard, the revised document, below grade structures and sump pump standards for Lower Frederick Township, recommendations from the Environmental Advisory Council from September 22nd, was approved unanimously. It's an 11-page document, and it's the culmination of nearly a year's work researching the issue, as well as its potential impact and solutions. It includes suggestions for ordinance language, but we've also clearly stated the problems, made a best attempt at preventative solutions, and the means for closing potential loopholes in the ordinance. And then there are some lingering questions that remain. The document was emailed to Mark immediately following the meeting, and thank you, Mark, for forwarding that. We'll look to you to move that through the process. Obviously, the ultimate goal is the adoption of an ordinance recommendation, of our ordinance recommendations. That document will also be posted with the EAC's September meeting minutes after those minutes are approved later this month. And we did just, I did want to mention that the creation of a non-quorum multi-commission working group was instrumental in moving us from talking in circles to actually producing some solid recommendations. Then the Tree Preservation Working Group is still performing research, as you've heard, and that was not on the agenda for the evening. Finally, a member of the public, as now we know it was Bob, was brought to our attention the issue of post-demolition fuel leak and resulting fumes at 204 Zieglersville Road. Normally, the EAC would have recommended that the authorities be alerted, such as the Pennsylvania DEP, but since that was already done, we yield to them and the EPA on the matter. We do hope, however, the supervisors and staff reach out to us if it's determined that there's anything we can do to help with this difficult situation. In the meantime, development of some kind of EAC-led community watchdog reporting and tracking system remains on our minds as a potential EAC project. The meeting was only 15 minutes long because we moved into a different Zoom conference room where our second community outreach presentation was held. The on-lot septic system presentation was delivered by Roger Lemon of All County and Associates. There is an interest in seeing a recording of that posted on the EAC page of the Lower Frederick website. Again, we look to Mark to helping us facilitate that. We do appreciate all you've done, Mark, to make that public presentation available on Zoom, and we're happy that we did not get bombed. In the meantime, any feedback would be welcome and can be delivered to the best to EAC at lowerfrederick.org. We'll meet again on October 26th, and there remains one vacant seat on the council. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Ruth. Any questions from the board for Ruth Heil?
Not a question. This is Dan. I did sit in on the on-lot septic. Actually, I sat in the whole meeting, but the speaker that they brought in about on-lot septic said, I actually covered all septic systems, the sewer and septic systems. He was I thought it was a very good presentation and something that, you know, it would be ideal to even get a bigger audience for. He did a wonderful job. He was able to explain a lot of things in a very down to earth, not overly techie and all this other kind of stuff. So I thought that was, and the slide, his presentation was great. And his ability to answer the questions that were posed to him were fantastic. So I think he was an excellent choice. So I commend the EAC and bringing him in. And you know, I'd almost suggest we try to do a replay of him doing that at some point. Maybe even a little bit more lead time to get more people aware of the benefit of listening to that presentation. And it was surprisingly not painful at all. It was actually interesting.
So. Was that recorded?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Just like this meeting's recorded, it has to be turned into something that we can put either on our website or YouTube or something like that. I'm not sure how it would work.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good to put out there for other people to watch at their leisure.
Yeah, that was certainly something that we were looking to do from the beginning when we realized that it wasn't going to be an in-person presentation. So Mark's been careful to make sure that we have something that we can post. And as for the conventional versus private system or centralized versus private system, I had asked Roger to compare the two systems so that the audience understood the difference between the two. And he did elaborate more on the centralized system than I expected, but it actually turned out to be helpful to the audience, I think. So that was good.
Definitely.
Yeah, I concur with everything Dan said. Roger gave
very good responses to all questions. I think there was only one that stumped them, and I think it was a goofy question that we all laughed at. But no, he was excellent. Thank you for bringing him in.
You're welcome.
I think that was my goofy question, Chuck.
Okay. Thank you again, Ruth.
You're welcome.
That brings us to new business. Mark,
I do have two things for new business. As we're going through the budget, and as I said, we did take the COVID situation very seriously, and we did stop doing some spending. In reviewing the budget and getting ready for next year, we've come across a couple of things that I think would be beneficial to the township if we could make those purchases this year. They'll be well within the budget. So the first item is a speed radar for the police department. This would be pole mounted. We could put it out on roads where we get reports of speeding. And the chief will help me out here soon. If someone drives by it isn't speeding, it will light up and tell them that they're speeding. It'll tell them the speed that they're going. The other nice thing for us is it will give us a report and it will tell us what people are doing. It'll give us the average speed for the road. It'll tell us like what the top speed is. Chief, are you there?
I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Do you want me to?
Yeah, if you want to take it from there.
Expound on what you said. Okay. Basically, the piece of equipment that we're asking to receive approval to purchase is called a Shield 12 speed display unit. This is a portable unit which can be moved very easily and set up on poles that we currently have in the township for stop signs and speed limit signs. The advantage to this is that this is a visual display unit, so that the idea is really to kind of give that friendly reminder to the motoring public that they are traveling at a speed that is unacceptable for that particular speed zone. I had a chance to speak with the police chief of Collegeville, and they actually purchased two of these very units last year, and they've had a lot of positive feedback. They've been able to set these units up. And it's kind of that happy medium between the heavy enforcement with a ticket and really not having a whole lot of presence. And that is that ultimately it frees us up to continue to do and handle our calls and investigations while also directing enforcement in areas where people have been concerned about it. And the data that they collect back also then lets us know specifically if this is a place that we do need to target for traditional enforcement. This is a CoStars approved piece of equipment, so we're getting the most competitive price here in the state of Pennsylvania that is afforded to municipal government. And the unit itself comes with some additional gadgets and features, as well as the ability to monitor and supervise the unit from my smartphone or from a smartphone from the police department, which is kind of attractive to us from a technology standpoint. The cost of this unit for us would be $4,665. And as I said, if the board approves us, we will move ahead in making arrangements with All Traffic Solutions. That is the company that we'd be dealing with to purchase this item.
I just had one question for Chief Maxey. Is it straightforward to set up from the standpoint it's something any of the officers could do? It doesn't require the road crew or anything?
No, not at all. I mean, that's the nice thing is that it's very easy for us to set up. It's also easy for us to take down and move to another location. And in terms of there's some more advanced features that would require probably some additional training. But my hope is to, if we purchase this item, maybe reach out to Collegeville, get a little bit of tutorial from them on what they've learned by using the device now. As I said, they've had theirs in effect for about 2 years. But ultimately, we feel that this is a compact and very easy to use unit.
And just one other question. Are these the ones that when go from yellow to red when you hit certain speeds?
Correct. Okay. So it's going to alert the driver with flashing lights. It's very evident that you were exceeding the speed limit, and we have the ability to obviously dial in exactly when we want that to occur, what type of a reaction we want the driver to get. But, you know, as I said, I think that a lot of times, at least in my tenure here, when we're encountering drivers and they're stopped and they're being issued tickets, I don't think that these are people that are willful lawbreakers. These are people that are very busy. They're traveling. Our township is a major cut-through point during rush hours. And I think to have a piece of equipment like this is a friendly reminder. And if you have ever watched one of these in action, the brakes go on and people do slow down, and that's the desired result. And our hope is that it also is educating the person specifically on what the speed limit is on that particular road.
Sounds like you set off a few of those red markers. Paul, would it so this wouldn't be something that you'd be actively stopping people if you see it go to something? That's just for the visual of the drivers themselves, right?
Yes, exactly, Terry. Municipal police are still prohibited from radar enforcement in the state of Pennsylvania. That is not passed. So this is purely a visual device to warn the motorists. And then the advantage that we get out of this is that we would then download the data, get the data so that we understand exactly what's going on there. And we can use it to then determine, do we need to do traditional enforcement?
Okay. Would there be any, as far as calibration and maintenance required with a device like this, or is it up to us since we're not writing tickets off of it?
It really would just be up to us. There's nothing that we would have no additional expenditure from the standpoint of having to have it calibrated on a monthly or yearly basis. It's just basically a device that we would use for this purpose and this purpose only.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty common sense. And I guess if we go forward with it, once you're done with it on Zieglerville Road, I guess we can look at other areas to look at putting it.
Exactly. And once again, as I said, I think it's a good community outreach tool because it allows people from the public to call up and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm having a problem here. And this could be a very easy way to deploy something immediately while, you know, with limited personnel, it sometimes is difficult to get speed enforcement. And especially with COVID going on right now, we're really encouraging our officers to keep our contacts to emergency situations.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions for Mark or Chief Maxey? All right. So basically, Mark, you're asking the board to authorize the purchase of the Shield 12 unit. I'd be happy to make that motion. I move to authorize purchase of the portable radar detector known as Shield 12 for the police department.
I'd second that motion.
So Chuck Geiser's made the motion. Dan Orff has seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any against? Motion passes unanimously. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
The second item that I have for the board to think about and maybe to approve is since I arrived here in August of 2019, I've heard about Village Center Park, and I've heard about the ash trees in Village Center Park, and there's been crazy numbers thrown around. So I was preparing for the budget for 2021 and getting quotes, but the quotes have come in much more reasonable than I expected from the numbers that I had heard at one time. So I got three quotes from $6,950 to $7,850 to remove all of the dead ash trees and a dead maple tree in Village Center Park. Again, with the COVID-19 restrictions, we were very conservative in our spending, and the budget looks strong for this year. I'm quite positive that we have plenty of room to spend the $6,950 to remove the trees from Village Center Park, the dead ash trees that are there. Like I said, we had three companies come out and give us quotes, and the lowest of those being the $6,950.
So this is, Mark, I have a question for you, and maybe a little bit from Noelle as well. It was my understanding that we did attempt to treat one of the ash trees that looked like it might have viability. Did it not survive after all? I'm just curious because I know time and effort was expended in treating that.
No, you're correct, Dan. Yes, Noelle treated a tree, and Warren had donated the material, the pesticide, for that tree. No, that tree looks good, and that tree would not be removed.
Oh, that's great. That's really good news. Okay. And 6,000 is a lot better than 18.
6,950.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we talked about having these trees removed. Gosh, it was an entire year ago, wasn't it? More than a year ago. And when we were talking about doing the park revitalization, what the park board did. And so it's well timed to get those trees out of there.
And Mark, is that tree cut removal stumps?
The stumps would be flush cut. That's what the park board had said.
Okay.
So the stumps would not be grinded out of there. This is just tree removal. So this is, a lot for safety, if those trees would start to fall. So it's stumps cut flush, no grinding.
Mark, I think, did the park board ask if that the chips remain on site as well?
I don't know the answer to that one. I'm kind of excited with the number. I'm sure we can call. I'm sure if the park board would like the chips left on site, we can leave them.
Do you know what they want to do with them?
I think they use them as mulch.
Well, I think you have to age it for a couple of years to use as mulch. Otherwise, there's, I think, nitrogen issues. But anyway, I'm not the expert. But
I will talk with Pam and Pam.
There she goes.
There she goes. Hand is up.
The original plan was to use the tree chips to make a path, a natural path down through around back where we'll be wanting to replace the canopy and also probably put in like a wet meadow at some point as a future project. But it was going to be used as a path down through there. We mulched heavily this year with nice wood chips. I don't believe we'll need the mulch next year, so we won't need the mulch on site at this point.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I think somebody will tie a bright red ribbon or yellow ribbon or green ribbon around the tree we want to keep, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll get some caution tape on that and make sure that does not get touched.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark, I'm personally I have no issue with going ahead and doing the removal this year. We've got quotes. We've got three quotes, right?
Yep.
And I guess we would go with the lowest responsive bidder, which
Correct.
Is the 6,950.
Right? Yep.
Would anybody would like to make a motion to move forward with the tree removal?
Also move.
Marla Hexter's made the motion. Dan, Terry, would you like to second?
Second.
Terry Bird seconds. So Marla has made the motion to authorize Mark to move forward with the tree removal. Terry Bird has seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none.
all in favor of authorizing Mark to move forward with the tree removal in Village Center Park, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Right, so that's four. And then Noelle, you're abstaining, or
did... I would need a reason to abstain at this point, would I not?
You would need only, I didn't know what you, I just didn't hear your voice. I didn't know.
Oh, I said aye.
Okay. Oh, it's fine. I'm sorry. No.
It's okay. It's all right.
So the motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
So that brings us to public comment. Do we have any comment from the public?
Yeah, I have Brian Hill. Brian Hill. Brian, you there?
First. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. So Brian Levin Ziegler-Ville wrote, I want to thank the board with the presentation this evening regarding open space. But I would also caution you, as Mark went over the budget, as for the earned income tax and the need for additional dollars for the already budgeted items, I would caution you in the idea that we have something on the election ballot as a referendum to increase the EAT. I would caution that our community not be so open to going forward with that. We have people who are struggling as it is. All great ideas. I think also we have to be cautious of the properties that we are considering, those that have tendency to have high maintenance, particularly in floodplains, would not be probably a good choice. We have properties that are under consideration for purchase to build homes on, which obviously have options for open space. So I would, again, just as a public comment, make everyone aware that those are things that are not necessarily always acknowledged to the average community member. As for the CHIPS, if this organization that's going to do the tree removal would like a spot to drop the wood chips, I'd be more than happy to take those on my property. Thank you. Also to Chief Maxey, thank you so much for your contribution to this new device, particularly since it's going to be on Ziegler-Ville Road first. Can we get the option of the flashbulb option on the device that makes it look like someone's license is being taken a picture of, so that we get more deterrence in slowing down? Doesn't even actually take a picture, just flash a bulb, who cares? it actually does even deter more people. So thank you again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for your comment, Brian. Any other comments, Mark?
I have no hands raised. I have no emails.
I said a couple things that I wanted to mention quickly, so I can do this. I will do this as part of my public comment, yes. If that's okay.
No, because...
Hold on, let me mute Brian. Okay. One thing, we talked about doing perhaps some sort of small ceremony for the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure we invite the county. Very important. They put up 80% of the money.
Yeah.
I think it would be, you know, remiss if we did not. And as some of you know, they have a new director, Scott France. He's the actual person that we dealt with in the 2040 grant. So he is their new director, I think, as of August or something like that.
And Chuck, I wonder if they may have their own photographer, so maybe they would like to.
Sure.
Maybe they'll come and, I don't know, maybe Mark can find out, but maybe they can come and even do the pictures.
Yeah, maybe they have a wide angle lens.
Yeah, there you go. Very wide angle.
Panoramic. I would like to suggest that we had talked about definitely inviting the previous members of the Board of Supervisors, specifically Chuck Ladyk, because he's the one that really pushed this forward and made it come to fruition So it might be appropriate to ask him if he would want to partake in this.
Yeah. And the only other thing, Mark, I think we had you sent us something the other day that our polling places are going to be this time around back to where we normally are, which is what, the township building and the firehouse?
Yeah, we got a letter saying that the voting machine would be dropped off at our building. I would like a little bit more information from voter services, but yes, it appears. And if you go on the voter services map, it is showing both the Lower Frederick Township building and the Lower Frederick Fire Company as the voting locations for the November 3rd election.
So if we could, you know, advertise that on our website and also whatever pertinent deadlines there are for ballots, applying for ballots, registering, all of those good things, I think are things that we should be doing for the public.
Yeah, and Chuck, if I can just add to that, if you could put the locations for the drop boxes, if people are concerned about mailing in mail-in ballots, you can just drop it off, I think, either in Green Lane or Potsdam. Is it Green Lane?
I think there's five new places to drop off.
I think, is Green Lane still the closest?
Yeah, Green Lane, Pottstown. I think there's one in Norristown, Lansdale.
Yeah, so you can just drop it off in person. There's a guard if you're concerned about the mail service. Just those are your two options. And in person.
Okay, I'll look into that and get that on.
And Mark, this is Dan. I did drop a note about this, but I think we should find out from voter services if they're expecting us to put social distancing markers down, or are they going to do it? And are we required to make sure that it is our township and our township building and, well, fire department, but there's also the issue of there have been instances in some of the other states where there have been problems with certain people not wearing masks and other people have, and then there's been some unrest in some states that had early voting. So I just be clearer of the, who is it, the organization, the voting group gave us some clear guidelines if that's our expectation of us or they're handling all that.
Be the county
I'll send an email, dude.
Yeah, the county board of elections, you'd think they would do that, but you know, I don't know whether they're expecting us to make sure that certain things don't transpire.
I'll send an email out to them. They've been very, very hard to get a hold of.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're still under a statewide mask mandate, so people need to be, we need to protect our workers who are going to be working inside, so that's really important.
Right, yeah. Well, that's yeah. I agree.
Well, that's all I had. So.
I don't have anything else up.
Great, so we need a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Noel Halter second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Good night.
Good night.
Good night.